to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, and welcome to show number 131 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is Jimmy, and this week we're going to have all kind of great stuff for you, including news. A lot of big news came out today. Some trip reports. All four of us have recently done trips to Walt Disney World very recently. And we'll also cover some of our annual March tournament information. This week I have with me Sam. Sam, how's it going?
It's going great. Fresh back, ready to talk. Lots to talk about. Let's go.
And also Jennifer. Jennifer, I feel like it's been a long time since I've talked to you, but I'm so glad to have you back on.
It has been a really long time, yes. So great to talk to you guys, though. I'm so excited to be back.
Welcome back from your trip and other trips and all that good stuff.
I know. Life was just a whirlwind for a while. So
Ed can't be with us tonight, but we had to keep going. That's for sure. And you know what? Last week was so much fun being in the parks, doing the walkthrough of Hollywood Studios. I hope you guys like that. That was actually the fourth one that John and I did. And it's just amazing the changes that have happened at Hollywood Studios in just a couple of weeks from the beginning of April till now, mid-April of 2016. And this past weekend was the media event at Walt Disney World, which is the red carpet they roll out for the media, and they talk about all the great summertime stuff that's coming to Walt Disney World and really Disney parks in general. So that gives us lots of news to talk about right now.
And just so you know, I did listen to you and John's walkthrough.
Cool. Thank you.
It was a very – you guys did a really good job. One of my favorite things about listening to those types of shows, I mean, other than listening to you and John talk, but – actually hearing you physically walk through the places and listen to the changes in the music and the things like that is almost like being there. So it's pretty fantastic. That's so great job. You guys did a really good job.
That's the whole goal. And be in there now when it'll never look like this again. And here's the amazing part. Go back when we did Star Wars Weekends 2015. We didn't know it at the time, but we were recording the last Star Wars Weekends, and we got that all kind of captured in so many things that were there, including the hat and the dessert parties and so many things gone now and changed, which really sets us up for new things coming, which I think is really cool.
Yep, I agree.
So as I mentioned, and I'll go ahead and cover a couple of these, it's the Walt Disney World Disney Parks Summertime Preview. So what they're doing right now is rolling out the red carpet to the media, talking about what's new in Walt Disney World, and we have quite a few summertime announcements, some of which we expected to be coming. Others are brand new, and all of this from the Disney Parks blog. So real quickly, I'll hit the first one. We know now that Soarin' Around the World is coming very soon to Walt Disney World, which is great. And in fact, in my photo report from the trip, if you hit the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com, you'll see pictures of Soarin' completely dark and completely nothing there. The Disney Parks blog, and in the show notes, there's a link to a preview of Soarin' Around the World. It will debut on June 17th in California Adventure, Disneyland Resort, and at Epcot and Walt Disney World. More importantly, Fast Pass Pluses will be available starting April 21st. So if you're listening to this, you can go and get those Fast Passes.
What's interesting is right now they are still currently running the first iteration of Soarin' in California. It's still running because they transferred over to digital a long time ago, or a while ago. It's just they probably just, you know, hey, click on a different file and we're just going to play this video now. You know what I mean?
That's a great point.
As opposed to all the renovation and stuff. I mean, obviously in Florida, they're even adding a third theater and stuff. But beyond that, even if they wasn't adding in a third theater, it was still a lot of work to change that over to get it set up for this new film.
Third theater, new queue area. You know, everything was dark, and I was doing my best to see anything, but the lights were all off. I mean, think about all the room that used to be where the fast pass distribution machines were. You know, they could do some cool things. Who knows what they're doing? I can't wait to see this open, but we're going to know about it sooner than later.
When I did happen to see that they even mentioned somewhere in the press release that they are updating the interactive queue, and I think that there was like a chorus on the internet thanking them for that because it was so lame. So hopefully it's something that doesn't require like 50 people to go together. And I don't know, did you watch the preview? Because I love Soarin', and I'm excited about the other footage. I think that the music that they have in there, which may or may not even be the music that's actually going to be part of the soundtrack, it's good. I hope that we hear some sort of little, even like undertone of like a throwback to the original soundtrack, because I just love it so much. But
the clip I saw, I didn't even think had.
The clip on Disney Parks blog does definitely have music, and
okay.
It's different.
I missed it. Okay.
It's
different. Got the same very like sweeping orchestra feel, but it's different. Yeah, I don't know.
It's different. It's similar. It's different.
It's probably fine.
And you know what? A year from now, we'll know exactly where we are in the pieces of music there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which, by the way, the press release also says take a bird's eye view of the Great Wall of China, the Sydney Harbor in Australia, and the Matterhorn in Switzerland.
So and like a dozen other things. So yeah.
Over a dozen things. Those are the only ones they broke out. But it's going to be pretty cool. Can't wait to see that. Get your fast passes, and hopefully the lines won't be as long as they once were, because there's 3 theaters now instead of 2, which is twice the 50% more capacity. Right.
So since we're talking about this, and it makes me very excited, I just wanted to also bring up just really quickly, all the people listening know, we are in talks about the 3rd annual Disney Nerds Podcast Meets coming up the first week of October this year. So that's going to be when I'll be down next. So that's when I'll be seeing Soarin'. So I'm pretty excited about that. And Rivers of Light and Frozen Ever After.
So let's keep going down the list here, because there's lots of things coming.
But so just a preview there. Keep your eyes open. It looks like the meets will center around the 2nd weekend in October, which is the 7th and the 8th.
Awesome.
I think the 7th is Friday and the 8th is Saturday. So we're going to be looking to do some meets right around then. Give us a shout if you think you might be interested. I'm going to have some group room rates available. I'm working on that with Disney right now, and should have them available to book within the next week or so. So
awesome. Yep. Something to look forward to.
Talking about Soarin', that's my next trip. So I just wanted to put that out there. So
another thing you'll get to see on your next trip. In the photo report, I just took some pictures of the hub, and I commented that the hub's done except for the castle stage. And in fact, I have some pictures of the castle stage area looking down Main Street, where it's just completely torn up, and you can see all the construction that's happening. Well,
by the way, is like different than when I was there.
Absolutely. And what we heard now is 2 weeks apart. Absolutely. Yeah. Disney has announced Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair is set to open in June at the Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. This is the new stage show happening in front of Cinderella's Castle, where Mickey and his friends will welcome favorite characters from some of Disney's newest classics in Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair, including Tiana and Naveen, including Rapunzel and Flynn Rider, and Anna and Elsa.
Nice.
Yeah, I love it. I think that... that show since like whatever Cinderellabration with the 50th and every one of them since then. And I know there are some people that love Dream Along with Mickey, but I feel like, and I don't sit and watch them enough, but at a glance, they all seem the same. Like they're all like the same characters doing the same things, and oops, there's a villain. And granted, you could argue that that's what fairy tales and stories are, but I love that it has like, not just Tiana and Naveen, but also Louie, and then Donald Duck finds people in the Enchanted Woods, and I don't even know who that's going to be. And it's just some really interesting, like, mix of people. And it talks about having jazz music in the party, and it's going to be a little different, I think, than the Fab Five fighting Maleficent.
I don't see any villains at all in the release here. The Mickey's Anytime. Royal Friendship Fair celebrates the unique stories of the citizens who make up the Magic Kingdom. That's how they end it. The celebration begins this June.
Very cool.
Something great to see. Something new over at the Magic Kingdom, which is great.
Yep.
They also announced, although we had known this, the new shops that are coming to Downtown Disney. So that's not really new. We knew that. They're saying they're coming this summer. Now, we did also get a date over in Epcot for Frozen Ever After, that attraction set to open in June. That'll be pretty cool. Finally, Maelstrom's coming back, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, right.
Basically.
The Frozen Ever After attraction is currently being constructed in the Norway Pavilion at Epcot. We all knew that. The date is set for June, although we don't have an official date. Once inside, guests will be transported to the Winter in Summer celebration, where Queen Elsa embraces her magical powers and creates a Winter in Summer day for the entire kingdom. Guests will pass through Troll Valley on their way up the icy mountain to Elsa's Ice Palace, and later return to the Bay of Arendelle. Sounds pretty interesting.
I'm excited.
I think it'll be good.
I think it'll be better than Maelstrom, which it's not tough in my opinion. But
so that is talking about the ride that will be opening, replacing the former Maelstrom. That doesn't really talk about the village that is under construction right next to Norway, which in the photo report you'll see some pictures of that, which is getting somewhere but not quite there yet. But that's two things that I've got.
Well, and I did a little bit of I did a post recently about the like past, present, and future of the Norway Pavilion, and I can shoot that link to you if you want. But it's
absolutely.
I read a lot about the queue, which we can assume that, I mean, with Peter Pan and with the Mine Train, that they're going to, and even before that, the Winnie the Pooh kind of updates, they're going to make these queues really cool, especially if the lines are going to be hours long.
You know it.
It says it's going to be themed to include wandering Oaken's trading post, with guests getting a peek at his shop, hearing his famous hoo-hoo, and helping him clear steam from the sauna in his windows as part of an adventure. So it sounds like you have to find Grandpappy, and you have to clear, you can just picture like clearing steam from the sauna to figure out some sort of puzzle. Kind of like the honey thing, but sure. Probably way more technologically advanced. So, or like the mines, or the gem mining. So it should be pretty cool. And that actually has, I found somewhere along the way, just kind of the whole progression through. And I think it was an interview with the creative executive. She was just saying that like, there's just going to be some like epic moments, as you can imagine, with doors busting open as Elsa's singing Let It Go and snow flurries are all around. And I don't know. I think it's going to be really cool. And people are going to hate it because that's how it goes. But like 20 years from now, I think it's still going to be a really cool ride.
Yep, I agree.
Which is good. And let's face it, if you were going to upgrade an attraction in Epcot, I think that would be one that you upgrade. So it's good. Can't wait to see it. All right, next let's head over to Animal Kingdom, because Disney's Animal Kingdom Awakens at Night with the new Jungle Book show, some parties and attractions starting Memorial Day weekend. So starting Memorial Day weekend, Animal Kingdom hours will be expanded. Guests will be able to enjoy Animal Kingdom in a whole new way after the sun goes down, which if you think about it, even things like Kilimanjaro safaris at sunset, venturing down Cali River Rapids at twilight, dancing alongside African performers in Harambe, or reveling in the new live musical celebration of Disney's hit film The Jungle Book. There's a lot to do in Animal Kingdom at night.
Well, and even just, and I mean, I'm an apologist, but if you go to like Tusker House now and you leave, like we can go to Tusker House at the time the park closes and you end up leaving like an hour later. And so there are street lights and literally just being, and this is going to get old or at least commonplace quickly, but being in the park at dusk and with paths lit up, and it's just a completely different feel. So, and then have you seen, I think they were just from last night's event, have you seen the pictures of the tree just like doused in rainbow colored lights? And yes. I can't stop looking at it. It's gorgeous.
I'm looking at it now.
Gorgeous.
The first look at the amazing sight of the Tree of Life awakens. The Tree of Life undergoes an extraordinary awakening. Is that the force involved there somehow, Jimmy? You can expect to see animal spirits come to life throughout the evening by magical fireflies. Each scene appears to illuminate from within the tree itself and reveals stories of wonders. That's one of the things to look forward to. Another is the Jungle Book Alive with Magic show. Now we'll read this exactly how it's listed. For the summer, Discovery River will become the stage for a limited engagement show inspired by Disney's hit live-action film, The Jungle Book. The Jungle Book alive with magic. It's filled with music and special effects that celebrate the new film and the classic songs infused with an Indian influence. Interesting, because The Jungle Book alive with magic takes place on the Discovery River, and we know that Rivers of Light was delayed, and there's nothing about Rivers of Light in any of these press releases. So it looks like we get this show instead.
Well, last night, though, they did show, like, 5 minutes of Rivers of Light to some of the people that were at the press event. And one of my friends posted a couple-minute video. And it's coming. It's happening at some
it's
point.
It's coming.
It looks like it's going to be very cool. There's some beautiful, we've talked about this before, kind of Illuminations meets Fantasmic meets World of Color. There are some really beautiful, like, lotus fountains that open up. And I'm still incredibly excited to see it. But I'm glad that since there is the delay,
they're going to do something with the space.
New things in, yeah.
There's this beautiful stage that they've built, and the seating area. You'll see it in the photo report, and it's just beautiful, massive.
You know what? Well, it seems like they just went completely, like, get completely overzealous, and like, all right, it's going to be April 22nd. Oh wait. Now we don't have any idea when it's going to be. It's like how do you announce a date, and it's like a month before that date?
Well, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's no projected timeline in the future anymore.
And I feel like it has to be something different. Yeah, like, because if you're making a movie...
Was there an earthquake? Yeah. Did you lose all the progress you currently
Someone
made?
Someone stole everything?
Right.
Because you're right. If you're making a movie, like, 2 years out, you might have a spring, whatever. But by the time you have a date, it's because you're done with the movie. And you know that the only thing that's going to move it is if, like, there's a better marketing plan or something. And so... I feel like they would have never given an actual date, like, repeatedly, only a few weeks ago, even if they didn't actually plan on doing it. So it's very strange. But
so
Sam, I don't know if the press release you're looking at as well, and I'm trying to figure out what's from the Disney Parks blog and what's from yesterday's event.
Right.
They have, like, this Harambe Wildlife Party that has almost like acrobatics.
The
happening.
Party with an I.
Yes, party. And then the carnival thing looks really cool.
Discovery Island Carnival? Yep.
They're adding just tons of stuff, so.
Yeah, these are both good.
I'm a little disappointed because it means that people are going to start being in my way at Animal Kingdom.
Well, you know, as we're kind of talking, I'm kind of scrolling through Sam's photo report. And earlier we were talking about Soarin' and the new Soarin' coming. But looking at your photo report, Sam, and all with the pictures of Soarin'
empty,
being closed. Yeah.
Yes.
So one of the advantages of that, though, is
did you see Sunshine Seasons is empty? There's
right. Exactly. So I was about to say that we ate at Sunshine Seasons probably more this past trip than we ever have, because we always love the food, but it's such a pain in the butt usually to find a seat there.
But it's empty now.
Oh yeah,
it's empty.
So it was so easy. You could just go sit and lounge in there.
Because Circle
there.
Of Life is closed in there too.
Yeah. So the only
which
thing
I had
there
no idea
is,
that was closed.
Yeah. So Garden Grill and Living with the Land is the only
those
two
are only two things open
in the whole building. So,
so very quickly back to the Rivers of Light. If you do some searching on the internet and some of the unofficial word, there are some issues with the GPSs in some of the technology being used, and it wasn't as reliable as Disney had originally hoped. Don't know exactly what that means, but some elements of the show weren't doing what they should do consistently, which is why they've made some delays and are trying to fix these things and came up with something else because, hey, we need a couple of months to figure this out, which I thought was interesting. But
yeah, well, and, you know, it's not going to be something like a float's going to jump off the river and run over somebody, but, like, you could have a big overspray or
absolutely
fire or
there
something, you know,
where
it's just thing uncomfortable, and you don't want to, like, tout this big thing
they'll
for 18
it
months
they'll
and
fix
then
it and
be
right
like, ah, it was okay.
How okay about other things, like just Expedition Everest at night or Cali River Rapids or Dinoland USA?
Dinoland, I'll be like going to your county fair, which is
exactly
always more fun at night. That's so cute. I love it.
Yeah, so those are other little side effects of Animal Kingdom being at night. So look for that this Memorial Day. And I think I've said this before on the show, we used to always, you know, that Animal Kingdom Day is the day that you snuck to Disney Springs. Maybe now it's the day that you go to Hollywood Studios.
Well, at least for a while, yeah.
For a little while, anyway. And speaking of Hollywood studios, let's shift over there, because coming just back from the Galactic Spectacular and the Star Wars Symphony and the Stars Dessert Party, which we did live Facebook from, that was really cool. There are some new things coming Star Wars related at Hollywood Studios, specifically Star Wars A Galactic Spectacular, which is a new nightly show in the next generation of Star Wars inspired fireworks.
Yes.
So this is a combination of fireworks, pyrotechnics, special effects, and video projections that will transform the Chinese theater and other buildings, which by the way are currently being built, you'll find them in the photo report, into the Twin Suns of Tatooine, a battlefield of droids, the trench from the Death Star and Starkiller base, and other Star Wars destinations. This will punctuate with a tower of fire and spotlight beams, creating massive lightsabers in the sky.
I love that
part.
This
just sounds awesome.
Because the thing is, at first I read that, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool, big old lightsabers in the sky. And then I'm like, oh, is it just going to be like a, you know, those, like, searchlights up in it? I said, no, it's going to be amazing. And I love the projections. You know, the castle show at Magic Kingdom has gotten better over the last however many 5 years. And then to see, I know, Sam, you saw as well in Disneyland this year.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So I cannot
basically, Main Street USA was lit up with projections. That's what Disneyland did.
Well, and Small World and Matterhorn. But, like, I just can't imagine how cool they can make an already, you know, not necessarily sci-fi, but, like, whatever, space fantasy epic something as part of these projections. I just think it's going to be so fun. Different than, like, the whimsical, you know, Wreck-It Ralph on the castle. I think it's going to be just
Great.
It's epic.
And that was, you know, we'll maybe talk about more Trip Report. We're kind of getting them together here, mixed up. But the Star Wars fireworks and studios was awesome. It really was. It was fun to see the Star Wars things happening. There was indeed Star Wars everywhere. There's other things not there, but another cool piece here. On the Disney Parks blog, there is a piece of concept art at the very bottom that shows a stage show that looks like the Cantina. And they don't really say anything about it other than, check this out.
Hmm.
I can't wait to see that.
That's exciting.
It'll be cool. All right. Moving on, also at Hollywood Studios, now this not opening or part of the summer, but we got a first look into some more details of Toy Story Land and the attractions in Toy Story Land. So this is pretty cool. So we know that there are two attractions coming. The first is the Slinky Dog Dash. It's a family coaster attraction you'll want to ride again and again. The attraction features a coaster track that Andy's built all over his backyard using his Mega Coaster play kit. But as you know, he's a pretty amazing imagination, so he's combined it with lots of other toys. And there's a great concept video out here that you can watch. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. But this concept video is a computer rendering showing the Slink Dog coaster. And what I like most about this is you can see the Chinese theater in the distance. So you can kind of get a feel for where you are back behind it.
I'm actually watching it right now as you. I watched it earlier, but I keep watching because, you know, you talk about how Andy is creative and he's made this thing out of like a roller coaster toy, but also everything else he has. And you think about Toy Story Mania in Disneyland that has like the boxes. You see the boxes that are like the game you just came out of. And so I'm looking and there's like Jenga and Tinker Toys and there's all these like other
Play-Doh over there.
Even just like in this tiny little concept art, like Rex is like on top of a Jenga building or tower or
yep,
something.
Yep.
I just, you know, that it's going to be so much fun to just find hundreds of little, you know, nostalgic pieces or
everywhere.
Easter eggs. And yeah,
it'll be awesome. And it also looks like this is back behind Toy Story Mania, in that area back there that really wasn't anything previously, which is good.
Then I saw, were you going to say something about the one small picture of concept art at the bottom that had to do with the swirling saucers? Did you see that?
Yes. So the second attraction at Toy Story Land will be the Alien Swirling Saucers. This attraction is designed as a toy playset that Andy got from Pizza Planet, which I thought was pretty cool. So it's inspired from the first Toy Story film, and the aliens are flying around under toy flying saucers trying to capture your rocket with the claw. So you become what the aliens are trying to pick up, which I think is pretty cool.
You think Pizza Planet stays Pizza Planet?
So Pizza Planet today.
We know they're refurbishing it, but yeah.
Pizza Planet becomes Muppet something, yeah. And a new Pizza Planet is built somewhere.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. I agree with that.
And hopefully gets better pizza.
Let's hope that, number one. So Pizza Planet, further on in the photo report, there's some pictures that might have been taken over the wall, but I can't vouch for that. But it is completely gutted, and the signs that were Pizza Planet are completely gone.
Oh, yeah, I'm on that picture.
And it's in the Muppet Courtyard, which they renamed that place.
Right.
I love, in this concept art, I love the, it feels so much like Tomorrowland, but not like a ripoff. Just like that whole, you know how fun it is to see all like the neon in Tomorrowland at night and how cool it is. It feels very much like that, which just, I don't know, it seems like you're in an arcade and you're in, you know, just like that.
Yes, you're in that
atmosphere.
Pizza plant. Right.
Which I thought at first, I'm like, well, that's a little weird, but then I don't know. I feel like they can balance it with the totally different idea, but the same like neon lights and glitz and glamour of Hollywood.
It's the
toy
that he brought home from Pizza Planet.
You know, the sight lines. The sight lines are going to be great, but like, I don't think it's going to be weird to have all these like bright lights. I think it's going to just be a nice continuation. And I hate that it's taking so long, but the more that comes out, you know, you hear like, everything's closed, the map's tiny now, and this stinks, and I'm like, gosh, this seems like it's going to be forever.
Once
but
we get through that, it's going to be
you
awesome.
You see that's it, it looks like it's going to be amazing. So
when I look at this, my first thought is it looks like the Dueling Dumbos a little bit in the way that they're set up. And then my second thought is I think the ride system looks a lot like Mater's Junkyard Jamboree.
That's what I was going to say as well.
So I think it's across there, right? It's Mater's with a roof.
When we heard it at Expo, it sounded like teacups, and I was like, no way.
It can't
like,
be teacups, no.
Like, the teacups are nostalgic and fine, but they're not great as a ride. They're not like, brilliant. They're not like a brilliant ride. They probably were at some point, but it does, in this picture, it does look more like Mater's, which is, I am always surprised how fun that is, because it doesn't look like much, but it's a lot of fun, so.
Yeah, and the last, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this does say that the third track looks like it opens Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
So Toy Story Land is not coming anytime soon, but we should see a little bit of crowd alleviation soon. So
which is awesome. And that was what I was going to mention. The very last sentence says Memorial Day weekend, the third track opens. It's perfect.
You think it's going to result in less wait times?
It'll result in more throughput. More people will be able to ride, whether or not you wait less. Who knows?
Right. So, I mean, I mean, I get overall, eventually, it's gonna reduce wait times. But I'm just wondering, with other things being closed there, if that doesn't just get filled. You know what I mean? So I wonder if it's just going to be net out to the same.
I don't think you're going to have a third more people come over to the park because that's there. So it'll probably decrease the lines a little, but I doubt it will like make them go away.
I don't know that you get a third more people, but once the line drops, wait times drop, and you have all those people in Hollywood Studios with not a whole lot to do already, that an influx of people say, oh, look, Toy Story Mania is only this wait time. Let's go
only
do it.
Only 45 minutes now.
Right, right. Yeah, who knows? Remember, too, that attraction, along with Great Movie Ride, closes early because of the fireworks. Which just makes it kind of strange to go back there and see Toy Story Mania closes at 8:15. It's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
All right, and so I have to ask, we're on the studios and the building's closing, and I have been off the grid for a month and a half. I know there's rumors, and it's always going away, and every time I go in, it's the last time we're going to see it, and the last time the four of us were together, I cried because it was the last time. But One Man's Dream's still kicking, and it's still there.
There's no real
mention that it's going anywhere. I have a friend who listens to the show and considers himself a Disney nerd, and I just found out that he's never been. And so I'm not so sure that we're friends until he goes through it. no, I'm just kidding. You all like him a lot. But it's I'm shocked. And so I'm like, I hope it's still there in October.
It looks like it's going to be.
Are we talking about Matt?
One Man's Dream. Yeah, we're talking about Matt. Yeah.
Matt's never been through One Man's Dream.
He's never been through One Man's Dream. I'm totally. So Matt, I'm so sorry. One Man's Dream, Enchanted Tiki Room, and Sunny Eclipse. I'm like, dude. In the world?
So when y'all arrive in October, I will already be there. So we're gonna meet like at one of the. We're gonna do all three in a row, however long that takes us to hop.
I will. I'll clarify. I'll kind of after I threw him under the bus. Now I'll give him a little bit of. we were talking about that, and I was like, oh my gosh, Sunny Eclipse and Tiki Room. And I said, apparently this is not going to be food and wine. It's going to be like an audio animatronics tour, whatever. That's what we're going to do. Right. And he said something about we could call it the AA trip. And I'm like, that could also be appropriate with this.
Right, so, absolutely. That definitely could be highly appropriate.
That's good.
But anyway, I'm hoping One Man's Dream is still there, because they are definitely – they're Disney nerds. They really like not just thrill rides, but, you know, Walt and all those – all the wonderful things that are in that space, and I hope they don't go away for a very long time.
Well, he's been he's actually – and for the listeners who don't know, who haven't been over to the – you know, I know – I realize we've got listeners who – don't go over to the website very often, thedisneynerds.com or thedisneynerdspodcast.com. They both take you to the same place. If you subscribe, you know, on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever, sometimes it's not necessary to go to the site. But on the site, we've actually added a blog, and Matt's actually one of our bloggers. So he's been doing a fantastic job. So he's definitely part of the team now.
Yay. So. Hopefully I'll like it. No, I'm just kidding. I said I love that about the group, that – you know, you, Jimmy, knew people from, like, either from Louisiana or from just other things. And you knew that, you know, when this group gets together, any of the Disney nerds, or as we talked about over and over again, any Disney podcast, Disney Facebook group, like, people are just cool. So it's going to be a great, great meet. And hopefully
that's right.
Our regulars can come back, and hopefully we can have more and more people there too.
That's right. Absolutely.
So back to in glancing through the photo report real quick and talking about studios, there's one thing I wanted to mention, because there were some rumors or rumblings that Disney Springs is getting this great water tower, and people were wondering if they were going to move the Eiffel Tower. Well, I can 100% say that the Disney Springs water tower is installed, and there's a picture of it in the photo report. And later the same evening, watching Star Wars fireworks, when the fireworks go down, the Eiffel Tower can still be seen in Hollywood Studios. So it's not the same one. They're different. But who knows what might happen with the Eiffel Tower.
I thought that was the perfect idea.
It was the perfect idea. It was a cool idea. And another one that goes right along with this, and you'll notice it when I was talking to John in last week's show, the Coca-Cola bottle that was in the back of Hollywood Studios that shot the water out of it is gone. And I'm wondering if it's going to show up at the World of Coke location, which construction is moving along quickly on that building. And there's some pictures of it right next to Planet Hollywood.
I will say, we went to Disney Springs twice while I was there, and I thoroughly enjoyed both times.
Yes.
I have always enjoyed it, but I've always enjoyed Downtown Disney in spite of this, and this, all these major problems it had. I still liked it even though.
Yep.
But they're like, those things are all gone. Now it's just enjoyable in spite of just crowds. Like, that's one thing. Just... one thing is bad. That's it.
So something I noticed in the World of Disney Store, right? The World of Disney Store is huge. They have expanded this thing right under our eyes, and I never even noticed it. So what they did, so you know when you go into one of the ends of World of Disney, it's basically a series of rooms where you have three wide and maybe it's five long, right?
Right.
On the back end of it, last time I was in there was a huge curtain along the wall. They have blown out the backside closest to the parking lot, and now instead of being three rooms wide, it's four rooms wide. So they've added one, two, three, four, five rooms on the back half. They've taken a lot of the merchandise is the same, but they've made the aisleways much bigger. They've made it easier to get around things. That you can actually walk through the center of some of these places without tripping over people. It was great.
Nice. That's
it was
great.
Awesome. And it was one of those things. I'm like, when did they do this? When did they do it?
Go into World of Disney.
It was incredible.
That's awesome.
Now, I bet you did make it into co-op, right?
I did.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I literally just made a note about that as I'm looking through my pictures.
One of my favorite.
So 28 main shirt collection for men. I absolutely love this. There are tons of pictures.
You need
it's
a second
best.
Mortgage to.
I'm pretty sure that I squealed out loud in the merchandising in the merchandising presentation at Expo, because I was like, oh, they're doing these little boutique things. Like, they have a bunch of new lines for women as well.
Yep.
And they're like, cool. They're a little different. Like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. And then the 28 and main thing, I was like, that is the most gorgeous design. I mean,
they're awesome.
Just the branding is gorgeous, and the nostalgia. And we do have a problem. We've had three or four different shirts, and they all fit like ridiculously differently. So it's nice that they're in the store now, because we used to order them online and like half of them were unwearable for Kyle. So, wow. But that whole store is beautiful. And again, we're mixing Trix Report and everything else, but
no, but that's okay, because this store, you go right. There's a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. There's, we want the redhead, you know, the redhead Pirates of the Caribbean, Walt's Tropical Hideaway, Karaoke Hut. And all of these things tie back to the attractions. And I just love it.
Well, and I love that these still are, I'm not sure about the ones in the store, but at least on the line, they're still like limited. So Kyle has like a Florida Project one and a Carousel of Progress one that aren't available anymore. And then they have like new ones that we missed and, you know, that we couldn't get, and which is kind of fun. Like,
it's very fun.
To, you know,
and
everyone,
it's one of those things,
Mickey
like I'm sitting there. Which one of these do I get? I wanted them all. And there's like
because
a
they're
dozen
not,
designs.
And they
that
are
wasn't
priced.
Gonna happen.
Higher than many of the
they
other t-shirts.
Are not
they're pretty steep for it. They're like $35
I believe I paid $34.95 Now I have a 10% pass order discount. But yes.
And quite honestly, they're not, you know, if you get like I remember looking on the cruise, there's like a Nike Golf Disney Cruise Line, whatever. It's like $190 polo, and I'm like, what in the world?
Yeah, no.
But at least it's like, no, it's not $190 quality, but it's good. The 28 in Maine, I'm sure, are kind of nice, but they're definitely that, like, you know, like t-shirts. The soft crushed vintagey to where like they're see through and they're gonna fall apart if you don't take care of them. So, it's interesting. Yeah. But
don't get me wrong,
so
I love the they were very smart.
I mean, it's
complete marketing. So.
I desperately for Disney Nerds, it's perfect for this group. I desperately want a slightly more effeminate, like, but the same kind of still like preppy vintage, like totally nerdy stuff. I want that so badly for women, but instead we get, you know,
you get
more
BB-8
more
dresses and more Doonies.
Those are pretty cool.
Like that.
Yes.
So I did mention, and there's some pictures of the photo report inside the old everything Frozen store is now everything Star Wars, but I really want to say it's everything Star Wars for ladies in that store. But the dresses are R2-D2, Boba Fett, BB-8, Darth Vader. It's there's a Rey dress in there. It's like, okay, there you go. Hmm. There it is. Hey, I think I found the niche that Joffrey's Coffee has. We've brought this up on the show before, because Starbucks is in all the stores and it's the big thing. Okay. But there's still these Joffrey coffee huts all over in studios and in Epcot and everywhere.
And they do well. Yeah.
And they do well because you'll get an iced Bailey's latte or an iced Irish cream latte.
So they've got alcohol.
Yes, which Starbucks doesn't. Am I onto something here? I don't think Starbucks has ever offered alcohol in any of their locations.
So here's another thing that Joffrey's does that's pretty interesting is right now you can go to Joffrey's website and Joffrey's offers a line of Disney coffees.
Yep.
Oh, I got like every one of them that Kyle would drink. I got for Christmas one year. Nice. And that makes you like a loyalist. Like, I don't drink coffee, but I would any of them that were not, you know, that were like kind of the style that he would like, we got. And it's so much fun. And so now, like, he'll drink either, but if I'm going to pick out a coffee at Disney World for him, I'm like, I want and now I can't think of a single one, of course, but I want one of them that's like named after Disney World. And
one
the Yachtsman. And the bag has like a design that almost looks like an attraction poster, or like you can get Starbucks coffee anywhere.
I'm with you. So I think they're in the niche with the alcohol.
That is, maybe.
How about this as a quick service option that I saw for the first time? Mac and cheese with pulled pork.
Oh, my gosh. Nice. Oh. Yeah.
Dockside Diner over at Studios.
Oh, okay. They also have it in, like, I don't know if it's at Friar's Nook, but right over by, like, Winnie the Pooh and the Mine Train ride.
All right.
It's a pot roast mac and cheese. Is it
that's
bad?
A thing.
Or is it...
Well, it's basically it's mac and cheese with pulled pork in the center.
Okay. Well, so this would have been beef. But the pot roast mac and cheese, I don't like macaroni and cheese that much. And I don't like things mixed together like that. Like, Kyle loves, you know, like the mashed potato bowl with all the crap inside of it. But like that stuff is amazing.
We need
it was so good.
You need to have the plate with like the separations in it.
100%, yes. I'll have two.
There
different
is
kinds
no
of
separation there. Let me tell you.
So,
there is no separation.
So, while we were there, we got to go eat at Skipper Canteen.
Nice.
I'm looking at those pictures now, too.
I did the same. You'll see some out there. And we sat by.
Kim got the mac and cheese.
How was that?
Which has like this Egyptian style beef, and it's macaroni with like a bechamel sauce. So it's like an upscale mac and cheese. And it was pretty dope, pretty fantastic. So.
She didn't throw herself off of the chair, tipping it over and crying because it wasn't shaped like Kraft.
No.
Because my 3-year-old did.
Oh, good. This isn't mac and cheese.
So let me ask you this. Did you get, and I've heard mixed reports here, just like the Jungle Cruise, it depends on your skipper. So
it totally does.
It depends on who walks you back to the table and your waiter or waitress and how much they want to play into the corny jokes, corny being key to the menu because there's lots of corn items on it, by the way. I had a wonderful experience, and I wish I had recorded it. It was awesome. These people were
incredible. Meanwhile, I was, like, so excited to go, and God love her. Not only did our waitress, skipper, whatever, like, not do anything Jungle Cruise-esque, I'm not sure she really knew what she was doing. She was sweet, but she was very flaky, and maybe that was her shtick, but, like, it didn't – there were no puns. There was nothing related to Jungle Cruise. It was just like she was at Denny's and really tired.
We had
and
– there were tons.
It was bad. I was just like, no.
So we started, right, the chandelier above our table. And Jimmy, I want to ask you because I saw you sat in a different room, and I saw the butterflies where you were. I want to was there any stick around that, or what did they –
No, they didn't do anything around that.
So,
but we did definitely have the coolest table that I saw.
I saw it. I had to walk past it to get to the restroom. And I thought,
did
hey,
you
there's
sit
where Jimmy
in the booth with the butterflies?
Yes.
Yeah, we sat at the butterfly table.
Well, I wanted to get a picture of that, and then by the time I came back, someone was sitting there, so I literally made them scoot around so I could get a picture of it.
Ah, that's
I'm so sorry, but can I like take a picture right between you guys? And
that's
funny. We sat in the butterfly room.
Because what made up for the lack of – I mean, I could have had anybody or nobody take our order and bring us our food. There was zero anything. But walked around the room, and the theming – I have pictures of like 100 of the – did you guys see the bookshelf?
The bookshelf there up close is in the photo report.
The bookshelf is like – oh, I have – yes. I have like – I'm doing research on it because you know that a lot of these things are like –
oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well – and on the little job board, the callback list for Schweitzer's Follies and all these, it reminds me of, and I don't like dinosaurs, so I don't really ride it much, but it reminds me of that kind of thing as well, which Disney does well anywhere, where they'll bring in, you know, like just one little tiny piece of scrap paper tacked on this board goes back to something that's tacked on a different board over in the ride. Or something that you hear on that overhead, you know, radio that you can barely hear anymore in the queue. That was enjoyable to me. Like our food, my food wasn't that great. Our skipper server was non-existent, but I am still pictures. I don't even remember. I'll find a picture. Hang on. We had like, Kyle and I just ordered two different things, and they were fine. It just wasn't great. I mean, it was okay.
I mean, that's what we did. Me and Kim just ordered. Well, yeah. Kim got the mac and cheese. Caitlin got this grilled chicken, which had this fantastic sauce, and this fried rice that was fantastic.
I think that's what Kyle got.
And I got the – basically, it was basically pork belly over
– I had – that's what I had.
Oh,
because
God,
I saw
so
it.
Good.
I'm like, pork belly over rice? It's like a big, thick piece of bacon. I'm in.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
It was good.
Oh, my gosh. But these books, seriously. So you said you do have them in the photo report.
There's pictures of them in the photo report. Now, the room I got to sit in was next to the one with the butterflies. And when they sat us down, they did the video. You have the best table in the room. You're underneath the tiki birds, which was a beautiful sculpture above us. The chandelier was the four tiki birds, right? Jose and Pierre. But we were sitting in the perfect view of the Great Wall of China, which was a huge China cabinet that went all the way around the room that we were in. And
oh,
I absolutely love
that.
So we're in the Great Wall of China, and I asked about the backside of water, and they showed me the barrel of the backside of water that sits that I wanted to buy or I wanted to take, but I couldn't. It's a small bottle in a corner, but backside of water is right over here. We had a freshly imported, and they were so into it. I was so upset I wasn't recording because it was really
I wonder if part of it then is your room as well. I mean, I hope that they have shticks for everything, and I'm sure they do. But I sat, you know, you enter the room, you're in the little waiting area, you enter the room, and there's like the large dining area. Mm-hmm. that has the big Jungle Cruise.
I was one of the worms off of that.
Banner, like really big. And then, yeah, you have the bookcase that walks you through to the bathroom that has the butterfly thing next to it. And then you have, there's all these small rooms. We were just like right in the middle of the big room, right in the middle.
I was in one of the other small rooms.
It was fine. Like it was, but it was not that cool. But the bookshelf, I cannot get over how much fun I had reading this.
There's a picture of the bookshelf, and I have some up close. I just put one in the photo report. But did you see what the dessert was?
No.
Congaloosh. That was the name of the dessert.
Oh, maybe I did see that.
Congaloosh.
We also got
it was a coffee cake and ice cream thing.
And so you guys probably got pictures as – I don't know that I did because I kept seeing – we went relatively late. I mean, we went just in February, and a lot of people had gone, you know, December, January. But the whole backside of the menu thing is very cute. Like, I don't think I got a picture of that, but that was fun.
There's lots of little – It was fun. It was a good time. Now, and we should bring this up, too, for those of you listening. And, Jimmy, you turned me on to this. You cannot do an advanced dining reservation for the Skipper Cantina.
Correct. But unless it's that day.
You can do same
online,
day.
Yes.
Same day in the app you can do.
Go ahead. So we're at Animal Kingdom. It's storming. We're in the little – we tried to go in the rainforest to get something to eat. The line was like,
but everybody was doing
people
that.
People are standing in the rain, like outside the building in line, waiting to go in. And eventually, I'm like, we're in the little store outside in the front, trying to figure out what we're going to do. So I'm on the phone trying to find a place for us to go eat. And it just happened to pop up. And I'm like, boom, set the reservation. Let's go.
We had met before. We met up with one of our friends that we've cruise with several times, like a cast member on the Fantasy, and he had gone to eat there that afternoon, and we said, you know, we're going tomorrow, we're hoping to go, but I know you have to kind of like walk in early. And I think it was like the first, well, I guess it would have been the first day. Yeah, you guys went in March, right? So it could have been, because we were there in February. It was like the first day or two. It was not being announced anywhere. They were taking walk-ups, but the walk-ups would have to wait like an hour or two, even though the place was kind of empty, because they were hoping to fill with online reservations. So if you would walk up, it'd be an hour. But if you'd walk away and look at the app, you could eat in 10 minutes, which is kind of bizarre. But
yes.
That is a little bizarre. But
like you had to go on the app, which I mean, I don't know. I'm sure they have some reasoning. But we actually had been kind of warned in advance. So here I'm at like 6 a.m. setting an alarm, which I didn't need because my kids wake up early, and getting right on there. And I'm like, oh, at noon, there's still like 12:15 openings because people are trying to walk up and eat. So I'm not sure how long that'll last. But as of right now, I think that's still the case. So that's important information.
Yes. And you can walk up and get those when you get there. I also did run into over at Liberty Tree Tavern. Now, remember, I was there after spring break. So those crowds had already started to die down. But at Liberty Tree Tavern, you could do the, you know, put your name on a list and they'll take your cell phone number and text you when a table is ready. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Nice, yeah.
Because I haven't seen that from Liberty Tree before.
That's cool.
I had the char siu pork, now that I'm looking at it. Pork tenderloins, broccoli, rice. Nothing.
Now, speaking of the app, I do want to mention something, and we'll get back to this later. I was there while they upgraded the My Disney Experience app to allow you to pick your fourth Fast Pass on the app, which was really cool, by the way. So this changes the way that you do things down there. And we have a show that we'll dedicate to this coming up. But Jimmy, this was like going back to the old school of you show up, you run and get a Fast Pass, you use it, you run and get another one, you use it, you run and get another one. Almost like this is what they always wanted. We had our 3 in the morning, right? 1, 2, 3, right in the morning. So we did – it was Big Thunder, then Peter Pan, then Mine Train. And as soon as we tapped our magic bands to go into the Mine Train, I was able to get my fourth Fast Pass, which I picked.
I did not realize that.
As soon as I tapped it, I was able to do it. So I had my phone in my hand. So we're tapped past the first Fast Pass plus spot. I picked my next attraction. We went to the next attraction. Now, what was even cooler, later in the day, you could pick a different park.
Yes, and that's what I was looking forward to.
Yes, so you can be inside Magic Kingdom or inside Epcot and say, you know what? I'm done at Epcot. Let's go to Magic Kingdom. We have Haunted Mansion. It was really cool.
And that's neat, but I mean, that's wonderful, but it's especially wonderful if you know exactly how awful it was to park hop if you hadn't, because we had one situation where, you know, so they assign you your three times, which first of all, you had to like start with those and then you can always switch them out. But like you had to pick three from the beginning, which was kind of frustrating.
Which you don't have to do anymore. Yep.
You don't have to do. Yeah. Well, I read a couple of things about it, but it's one of those expectation management. Somebody wrote, yay, it's going back to like the way it used to be or the way it was meant to be. And so I was like, oh, they're getting rid of Fast Pass Plus. And I was like doing a happy dance. And then I read it and I'm like, oh, like, so yeah. You don't have to go to the kiosk. No big deal. But no, you said a couple of things that I hadn't noticed. Like the fact that you can do it right away is awesome.
It was cool.
I knew that it would change the way people tour because now you're not going to do a Wishes at 9 o'clock.
Well, and I had that one day, but yeah. Wishes isn't in there anymore as an option. Which
but as
makes,
far as the...
It makes me wonder if that's going to be a dessert package or something. Who knows what they're thinking.
As far as the park hopping, though, it was not only could you not do it from a different park. Whatever, that's nice, but fine. We had situations where either you just choose not to use it, so you'd use only two of your three, and you would go to the next park and be in the next park and be at a kiosk. And it was almost like they couldn't – I'm sorry, you didn't use your third one. Like, wait, but what do you want me to go back to the park and use it? And no, they didn't. They would kind of do a workaround, but it took forever. Yes. And then one time we had a situation where they didn't have Nolan scan his band at the second checkpoint.
Yep.
And so the rest of us had used all three and he hadn't used his. And so by the time, I mean, it took probably almost 15 minutes for them to, because every time they'd try to like use his, they'd end up like saying, you don't have any, because they were trying to use all five of ours and the rest of us didn't have any. I mean, it was just this, they'd add one to his and it would go in the wrong person's. And
yeah,
it was just crazy.
Yeah.
Because we had not used it. Like we were like penalized for not using the third one. And it was just very strange. So that is really cool that you could, that it is almost one to. That's really neat.
It definitely changed the way that we could do things. Now, of course, the popular things weren't available, right? But Magic Kingdom, it seemed like there was something always available.
That's cool.
You know, even later in the day for Spaceship Earth, there's a 30-minute wait for Spaceship Earth, and I was able to get a Fast Pass 5 minutes from when I tried to get it. It's like, okay, let's just wait 5 minutes and then go in.
That's like old Fast Passes, you're right.
It is.
That makes saw somebody on Facebook the other day posting that they had gotten – like 11 Fast Passes that day.
And you could do it if you hit it early and keep going, you can do it. And as long as once you get to the end, the pickings are pretty slim, right?
Well,
you're not
going
to get good stuff
was.
At the end of the day.
That's, I mean, that's how it always would have been.
Yep.
Like even when, you know, you and I talked about how it was kind of nice to go back to Disneyland and you get right back in the groove. It's not like you've forgotten how. And I said the exact same thing. Our first day there, we used like 11 Fast Passes. And it was so nice because on your best day with original Fast Pass Plus, you might get your fourth one and somebody might get their fifth if they were there all day long.
Right.
But it was just, I mean, you could never get 8 or 10. And that is so exciting.
Cool.
That does make me happy.
Now, another thing that was really easy was manipulating restaurant reservations. It was very easy to add, to change, to move a time slot around. I was able to do that a few times pretty easily, which was a pain in the butt previously. You didn't want to do anything because you'd lose your reservation, and yeah, that was never good.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Any other interesting things, Jimmy, from your trip?
What?
And then I'll ask you, Jen.
The lines were really, really long.
Well, you were there Easter week, right?
No, yeah.
Week before, week after.
Yeah, we knew it, too. I mean, it wasn't like we didn't expect it, but, I mean, we saw like 70-minute waits for, like, Dumbo and stuff.
Yeah.
That's something I want to know, because we talked about ahead of time, and I said, you know, we actually had last minute gone on a spring break once, and certainly, you know, there's plenty of things you can do, and so... It was a different trip, I'm sure, but what did you do that was, like, really cool because the lines were long? I'm sure there was something. Or no, you'd just be miserable.
No, you know, we still had a great time. So, we found things to occupy ourselves.
Yeah.
We took a lot of pictures with Walter.
I loved that. That was so much fun.
Yeah, so everybody seemed to enjoy Walter, so that was a lot of fun.
Was he a stand-in for Wyatt, or was it
he
just...
He was.
Okay.
I sort of
originally I thought so. Originally I'm like, oh, so cute. It's like a flat Wyatt.
So,
but then it was like Walter only. I'm like, oh, no, it's just Walter. But
so every year when we go, every trip we make, we go, we always grab a couple of the stuffed animals and stuff like that to take with us to put in the room because, you know, mouse keeping, we'll put them in the window. Mouse keeping does cool stuff with them and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we were picking out stuff and Kim was going through them and we had Walter. And so it kind of started as a joke since Wyatt wasn't going that we would take Walter instead. So we just started posting pictures of him and people started to like it. So then it just became a thing. So
that's cool.
I loved it. That was fun.
Yeah. So I think it's got to be, and now it may even be a recurring thing. I think Walter may always come.
Oh, I'm totally trying to find who I want to take with us because we had Pal Mickey, you know, anyone who was there back in the day. Had
I still have that thing.
But everyone had Pal Mickey. Like Walter is cool. Yeah. I need somebody unique like that. Like kind of a, you know, just a C character.
And then when we were, you know, when we would be walking around, Kim would just have him in the backpack, which is his head kind of poking out the backpack. So, cool. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, well, I actually started his own Facebook page. So, he's actually...
I like
he's got like 600 likes. Walter goes to Walt Disney World.
Walter goes to Walt Disney World. There you go.
Yeah. It's pretty funny, actually. So... but everybody liked it. I even had friends that texted me in the evening. Hey, how's Walter?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, because Walter could be anybody that was looking at the pictures going, that's me. That should be me.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So that was a lot of fun.
Anything cool stand out from – it's been a little while for you, Jen, but anything stand out?
Well, yeah, because we had a different trip because we had you know, very short. It was a Jennifer needs to escape Ohio in the winter and everything else that was going on at the time. And so I looked at Kyle like in the beginning of February. I said, hey, how many patients are on your schedule like the 20th through the 23rd? He was like, where are we going? I'm like, okay, good. Like, we're going to Disney World. So we had no plans. I mean, no real dinner reservations, nothing. We barely got a, you know, DVC availability. But and also I have younger kids. So we did the Lion Guard experience thing
that
we had.
We didn't get to do it. Oh my gosh.
Well, okay. So it's, I say, oh my gosh, like I'm super excited because my kids adored it. Like Nolan literally slept with his map. Like it looks like a park map, but he like slept with it last night in his room. He still obsesses over it. It was the highlight of his trip. We weren't actually going to do Animal Kingdom and then like that's the week it started and I said, oh my gosh, like it's supposed to be a limited run. Probably it won't be if it goes well.
Goes well, right.
But he is so obsessed with the Lion Guard right now that if we didn't go and then it went away, I would feel terrible. So we rearranged.
So the Lion Guard is a series on Disney Junior?
Disney Junior.
Okay. So tell us a little. I don't know much about it. I'm asking for somebody that isn't familiar.
Funny. Well, and there's a lot. Yeah, it's definitely misunderstood because you'll see, you know, like a sponsored post from Disney Junior online or something, and it'll just like say something about the Lion Guard, and 500 comments are like, how dare you ruin the Lion King, and I hate you now. That was my childhood. And everyone else is like, did you ever watch it? Because like, it's really quite good. So it started with much like Sophia the First, and maybe that's it. It started with like a 45 minute like mini movie, like TV movie,
okay,
introducing Kion, who is Simba's son. And that's a lot of people had. There's a little bit of continuity issue, you know. Kiara from Simba's Pride is like back to being an adolescent instead of an adult, and they have a younger son, Kion. And so there's a little bit of continuity, but beyond that, it is a lot of the same voice cast, including James Earl Jones. And So Kiara is training to be queen, and Kion is sort of a playful, doesn't care about anything until he finds out that he has the roar of the elders, which is just some, you know, mystical lions come in the sky when he roars. So he is tasked with putting together the Lion Guard, which is the, like, there's five people on the team, and I could go into all these details because I know all of them because I've seen.
That's why I'm asking.
A million times. But the keenest of sight is like this, is an egret, a bird, and there's the fastest and the strongest and the fiercest, and it's always been lions. And when Kion goes to pick them, he picks an egret, a hippo, a cheetah, a, oh my goodness, I forget what Bunga is.
A bird of some sort.
All of a sudden. And the lion. No, he's a honey badger. I'm like, he's one of those things. He's a honey badger. And at first, you know, Simba's like, that's not okay. This is not a lion, right? But of course, you know, they overcome adversity and prove that they really are great. And anyway, they have, from there on, they establish Scar's backstory, kind of like his role with the Lion Guard and why. They do a really nice job of just expanding that, like, Lion King universe. They don't undo anything, and so people are crazy. But the so now it's a 30-minute series on Disney Junior, and at Animal Kingdom, you go into a couple of the different stores up front and you get a map, and it teaches you some of their catchphrases, like their Swahili catchphrases, and says, you know, you have to find like the statue of each of those five characters throughout the park. And there's a little map and there's little flags, and I mean, it's not my 3-year-old had to look hard sometimes, but it's otherwise really easy. Cool. And but you go take pictures, and these statues are gorgeous. They're like decent size and they're like really nice. So I don't think it's going to be temporary. And then at the end, you go over to Rafiki's and you get like a little, almost Wilderness Explorer-esque. You have like a little ceremony when you become part of, you get the mark of the lion. And so they just ate it up. They thought that was so much fun. It took like an hour. It was nothing. So that was like the highlight of their trip, which was hilarious.
That's awesome. That's a great memory right there.
I know. It was fun. And really, I'd not seen anything. I didn't know what it was. That's why you almost didn't go, because I heard it was happening, some Lion Guard thing, but nobody had really like done it or posted about it. So otherwise, we talked about the co-op. I love the fact that you know, we knew when the Marketplace co-op started that it was going to have these like rotating shops, and I felt like this was the first time I went that everything was really quite different, which was fun.
Then when it first opened, I agree with that.
They've rotated
like, some things out already. Yes.
Pretty significantly, yes. I mean, there's still a lot of the same stuff, but there were some really decent chunks of things, like the 28 in Maine, that had some really neat things. I got my very first Dooney, which Kim would be proud. I don't carry purses. Like, I don't carry purses ever, so I was always like, if I'm going to get one, it's got to be, like, the perfect print, and I love it, but...
Which one did you get?
It probably has a name if you're, like, a collector. I don't know. It's white, and it's, like, a little bit of red and black. It's very, like, Mickey and Minnie at, like, an ice cream shop. It's very retro-y looking. I said, somebody out there is probably like, oh, it's this line, and I don't have any idea. But they're, like, on Main Street. There's a popcorn cart. And, oh, yeah, I absolutely love the merchandise for the 45th. But that's a whole different show.
I did see a little bit of that. Otherwise, yeah, it is the 45th, and we haven't heard a lot about that.
But the merchandise is great. I love the 40th collage, and it looks a lot like that, so I'm excited. We stayed at the boardwalk, so we saw a lot of construction,
the photo report, there's a lot of construction walls at the boardwalk.
Seashore Suites, all those were closed.
The arcade is behind walls? Yep.
Everything is behind walls. Yeah.
It is. It seems except ESPN Club is open, the bakery and the pizza place is open, but everything else is behind walls at the boardwalk.
Yeah.
Who knows what's happening?
It was pretty interesting. But the only other thing we did, it was our first time at Launch Bay, which I know we've talked about because it's been around for a while, but we were standing in line. This is just so interesting to me. We were standing in line waiting for Kylo Ren, and people would leave and kids would be like screaming. And
like terrified screaming? Or
oh, yeah. Like crying, real tears. And the guy that I had met the night before from the cruise had said, oh, it's like legit. So I'm sitting here. I'm like nervous. My kids are nervous. We're all kind of nervous to meet Kylo Ren, right?
He freaked me out a little bit.
He kind of freaked me out, right? So then people are like, the kids are crying. We have parents that are coming out like, oh my gosh, that's a bad dude. And I'm like, wow, like this is really kind of intense. I'm a little bit nervous. And, you know, I think that he meets in several offices, and we met him in an off moment. And it turns out, and Kyle afterwards was like, you know, that all those families were leaving from the right and we came out the left. And so I think there may have been a little bit of office switching and a little bit of whatever. So
maybe.
Our Kylo Ren was, he looked cool, but it's pretty telling. My 3-year-old walked up to him and said, now he's 4, but he walked up to him and he looks up at him and he says, did you know in Star Wars, there's a guy named Poe? And like just looks at him, and then so Kylo Ren's kind of talking about him, and Kyle's like, I don't think he really likes him, and he's like, absolutely not, and kind of like directing my girls to go stand, and they're all just sort of like looking at him like, all right, I guess so, and he didn't really talk, and he was super not intense. I'm like, dude, you need to get a little bit of anger in you and start acting like a villain.
No, the one we had was very intense. It was a little awkward for me.
I was like, I don't know. I was really nervous and didn't want that. But then afterwards, I'm like, no, I kind of did. Like, I kind of wanted mean Kylo Ren. But instead, he was having a nice day, I guess. But it was funny because we did notice. It was a few minutes later that Kyle was like, oh, we exited a different place. So there's that.
Yeah.
Between the lines, grown-ups. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was just like, oh, I guess I need to go back and see him again. Whereas Chewie was great. He was like teaching my kids how to speak Wookiee, and they're not good at it. But yeah,
that's great. Good. The lines for Chewie are always too long when I'm there.
Well, we were there it literally was closing. Because, you know, like you said, everything sort of closes we saw the fireworks show for the first time. Actually, we had really great, they have like the rope in the pathway, and there was nobody sitting like in front of the rope toward the theater. And I'm like, are these going to be really bad seats, or are we not allowed to sit here? And they turned out to be wonderful. And so I'm not sure exactly what happened there, but it was good. But we went in like basically right before they closed that area. And I was just trying to find the picture again. I know it was 20 minutes for Ren and 10 or 20 for the other two lines.
Oh, wow. Because usually it's the other way. I've traditionally seen Chewie be longer than Kylo.
Right. Yeah, it was 10 for the theater and 20 for Chewie and Kylo Ren. So, and we did not. We waited like 6 for Kylo Ren. So
yeah, you know what? That 10 for the theater is worst case. That's basically you get there when they close the door to the show in front of you.
And we actually did not get to see it because that's what they said. They were like, you have like 12 minutes until this building closes. So if you want to see characters, you have to go.
You did the regular stand in line, wait for him? Kylo Ren?
Yeah.
Okay. I did the the Disney Visa card.
The Chase line. Is
Chase thing. And we went and we showed a Visa card, went straight in and met him.
Which is cool.
Is that in the same area? No line.
It's not the same area. It's sort of up the steps, hidden a little bit. You have to ask about it to really find
it. It's right where the little Jawas are.
Yeah, on the other side.
Oh, and that was so fun. That's also something.
So right in that same room, there was a little doorway where the cast member was standing.
Yeah.
And you walked through there. And then when you got out, you were in that room that had the video games.
I will say, honestly, my kids were supremely freaked out by the Jawas, more than Kylo Ren. Like, they thought they were cute and cool and funny, but then they would, like, take their stuff. And they were like, you know, we'd trade some things, but we ran out of things to trade. So one of them just, and I don't remember what it was, my daughter had something. And he, like, took it. It was, like, her souvenir. Like, just took it. And she was like, am I going to get it back? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you'll get it back. It'll be fine. Like, and I'm sure staying closer. Like, we'll trade for it. It'll be fine. And dude kept it for several minutes. And she just is like about to cry. I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. You're going to get it back. I promise. But then ultimately they ended up giving us like trading us for nothing. So we could get those little pieces of whatever we're getting pieces of and like little droid pieces. And that was so cute though, because we had never done like the dining experiences. And so that was a lot of fun.
That's good. But, yeah, they're in there for sure.
Yeah. So very hit and miss, just lots of little more Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom and all that. So nothing else that was too new except for the line.
This trip for me was, for the kids, more about pressing pennies than trading pins this time.
Yeah. We actually got into trading. Yeah. My daughter's, when we were in Disneyland not this last trip, but when they were like 3, we kind of introduced them to it and they were like, I don't know. I kind of like just wearing them. I like my necklace, you know, and they're 3. I don't want to give anything up. Now they definitely are like, it's kind of fun. I almost want to, we've always limited them because I feel like they would just either just keep all the random pins I give them or they would trade everything and not really pay attention at all. But now they're really kind of at a good age. They're getting,
making a set.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then they'll like be close to a set and then start trading it away. I'm like, what are you doing? I thought you were going for this thing. So that stresses me out. But
that's good. I also noticed there was no place to trade vinyls. We took a couple and I don't think we're taking them next time. I didn't see anywhere at all where you could trade Vinylmations.
I didn't even know that you could still, like, I didn't even know that you could trade them. Like, I didn't know that was a thing.
You used to be able to at a lot of merchandise stands downtown, but where you used to trade vinyls downtown is now the Galactic Outpost in Disney Springs, sorry. So that's the Star Wars store. But in Frontierland, you used to be able to do it. In the Muppet store, you used to be able to do it. All those places don't trade anymore.
Yeah, we never got into those. I was surprised, though, I will say, on the same line. There are, like, no Zoom Zooms anywhere. Even in, like, I expected in the...
No Zooms.
Little.
Okay, yeah.
I'm like, you're not little.
The little puff-looking thing.
I call them some.
Whatever. I know what you're talking about. I don't have any.
No one's birthday party was that theme, which is fun because nothing exists. No, we have, like, all of them. We have way too many. All of my kids love them. And so he would tell everybody. He would tell everybody, like, they're like, oh, what kind of party are you having? And he would say it, and they're like, what?
What?
And I had to, like, explain it, and they'd still be like, what?
Do you play the game?
I do. I've had to kind of stop and give it over to them because I played too much. I don't have time. I don't have time to play it.
Yeah.
Because I'll still be like, you know, don't.
Ed and
don't play that one because you won't pop it, right? You won't get the bubble. And so let me play the specialty one so they can get it. I don't. Yeah, I did get carried away. So
I started playing it, but I don't play it anymore. But Ed plays it, and Charlotte and Stacy, they all play.
Ed and I are friends. Ed and I are friends up there, but or whatever that's connected somehow on that line thing. But
yeah.
But even that, like at Mitsukoshi or whatever you say, like, they had nothing, not a single one. I'm like, there must be some sort of. You know, some sort of whatever weird business thing where like this branch of Disney, whatever merchandising is different. And
because
I wanted one of the, because in Japan, they release more of them earlier, different ones. I'm like, oh, maybe we can get like Japanese Zooms and it'll be fun, but nothing.
Mitsukoshi's though is not owned by Disney.
Well, no, but in Japan, they are sold there. They're sold everywhere.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't know that. But, you know, like back by the sake bar, I ended up going by like a soup bowl, like a ramen noodle soup bowl that was on sale. They actually have stuff that they put on sale there, but you can't use any discounts there because they're not – when they print their receipts, it says Mitsukoshi. It does not say
Disney.
Well, it's
totally like a – it's like a real department store there too.
It's a complete –
We have a friend – like I wanted the Oswald one after the fiasco that was the Disney Store at the Expo. And my parents know somebody who's like either doing an exchange program or something. They're like, oh, she says she can get them. She says you can get them in like convenience stores practically. I'm like, wow, all right. Like, that's crazy. But I don't know. It's interesting. But they didn't have that there either. So all I can say is we went, and this is how it goes. You guys know, we were there for like 2 days. And I know this sounds totally, totally spoiled and stupid, but Jimmy knows my kids are spoiled or calls me out on it anyway. we've done cruises and we've done really wonderful things and we get to do a lot and I'm really thankful for it. But we have not done like a Disney World vacation, like a week as a family that we stay and we do everything. So like when Nolan went to Animal Kingdom, he didn't even know it existed anymore. And there are certain rides we haven't ridden in like 4 years. And so I went for 2 days and I'm like, I had hoped that it would sort of tide me over and make me not, you know, hate Ohio. But all I did was think, I need to go back now again, like the next day, worse than usual. Yeah. So
absolutely. Because that's what it takes. I did the 7 days with the family and it was absolutely wonderful. Flower and Garden Festival, great.
I was like, you're always at Disney World. I'm like, I was there for 2 days. It's totally different.
It is totally different. I want to go back now. I was there for 8. And that's why I've taken all the pictures of the interesting little things and going, oh, look, that changed and that changed. Yeah. There's a permanent stage in Germany now. How about that?
Well, and that's what we were talking about, you know, the three of us and then the group some. We went, it felt like forever ago, but when we started talking about this show, I went back on the calendar and I think that I came home just over 5 weeks before you guys all came home. So like within 6 weeks, all of our trips took place.
Yep.
And I think that my trip versus who went last, Ed or you,
I
Sam?
I just got back, yeah, last week.
Sam went last.
Like, totally different. I mean, just totally different. Everything, especially in the studios, where everything kind of stopped, whatever, April 1st.
Well, the beginning, was, and so. I was there right after all that stuff closed, yes.
I was really sad to not see Streets of America again, but...
Yeah, and so the best you can see now is at the exit of Muppet Vision... If you stand sort of by Mama Melrose, you can get a little view over the walls, and you can see that the Premiere Theater is completely gone, and they're just taking everything down.
I said, how fun would it be as a local to just go and, like, look again at all the, like, Easter eggs and the signs and the, you know, all that stuff.
And
so.
I was looking at a lot of that thinking, wow.
I need to find good video. I'm sure you have some video and pictures. So, even
lots.
Like older times. So,
absolutely. And going back and comparing those will be fun for sure. So we've been going for a while now. This is incredible. I love being able to share those experiences with you guys. So wish Ed was here, and we'll talk to him next week, that's for sure.
Yep.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.